Saturday, when I felt my heart, when I talked about the man that was outside of the temple, week after week, the same old thing, but something spoke into his heart, and it was the Word of God. And I think about that. I think about when Jesus Christ, you let Him touch from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, all your emotions and your senses and your feelings, and you become open to it. Something takes place. Something happens. And we got to be able to do that. Amen, church? We got to be willing to open ourselves up and just worship God. And amen? And we got to worship God. Just bless His name and think about what He's done for you. And it's encouraging to think that way. I think about Mary Magdalene when she was standing outside the tomb. And she, you know, she was at the end of hope. You know, here's the Messiah. And this king that she thought was changed her life. She knew it was real. Amen? She knew it was real. And even, I want you to know, even in your darkest moments with Christ, when He touches you, even in your darkest moments, there's still hope. Amen? Come on, I want you to know that. That's the difference. He touches you. That's the anchor that holds on to you. And deepest part of her, and inside, even though she went there just for herself, just to feel, just to know. Sometimes you go to church, sometimes you come to church, and you know, you're in your darkest times, but there's hope. Amen? You keep pressing in. You press in. Hallelujah. Because at that moment, I want you to know that when she stepped up there was the resurrected Messiah standing before her. Hallelujah. And the possibility where she's seen a stone, she goes, who rolled this stone away? How could this be? Things that seem impossible, when you pursue Him and you go after Him, I want you to know He'll roll your stone away. Hallelujah. Amen? He will roll your stone away. That thing that's impossible, that thing that seems hopeless. Amen, Renee? That thing that seems hopeless, He'll roll it away. We're going to pray right now. Stretch your hands out. We just declare right now, Renee's sister, God, make way, God. I pray You give her wisdom, divine wisdom, God, that she sees things, God, Lord, You just speak to her heart, God. As she walks into this situation, give her guidance. Let the Holy Spirit guide her. Give her protection, God, and Lord, power and strength to God, Lord, come out of her mouth. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to get right on this. How many of you guys know that yesterday wasn't just Halloween? It was, what was it? It was the restoration of Reformation. Amen? And it was 500 years ago. 500 years ago, 1517 it happened. And it was Martin Luther. Amen? He took and he felt something in his heart. And, you know, it wasn't like he just became disagreeable with the church, but he placed 95 questions. Come on, questions are okay. Amen? Questions are okay. It's whenever the church starts yapping or talking about things that they don't understand amongst themselves without pursuit, saying, listen, I need an answer for this. I need to know this. I need to understand this. That's where sometimes confusion sets in. Amen? So he went in and he nailed it on there. These are just 95 questions that I have for the church. And it was the Roman Catholic Church. And he had some questions that he was asking. He says, listen, some of these things I just don't understand. And one of the main ones was, it was about to pay penance. You ever heard of penance? And they felt like what happens is, and they were kind of using this, and they were using it to say, listen, you were paying for your sins. So if you had sins, or if you had sins, boy, wouldn't that be easy? I got $10 today. I did something wrong. Here you go, Lord. You know, it was being used, and they were using this in a bad way. Amen. They were using this in trying to manipulate people, and they used this word. But he began to study the Word of God, like we should study the Word of God, and he found out, and he realized that word was pronounced wrong. It was taken from, and actually, it means metanoia, which means to turn around, and it means, that word means repentance. That means it's changing your mind of something. And you're realizing that, guess what? And he's saying this. He says, we need to change our mind that you can't do this on your own. Amen? Come on. You can't do this on your own. I need a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And what he was declaring to the church was, listen to me. He says, we can't do this on our own. And he began to question the church. I can't pay for this. This is a free gift from God. Hallelujah. It only comes from the Heavenly Father. And he began to declare that and ask of that. And he got in a lot of trouble for that. We know that. But not only that, but what else did he do? He began to declare something to the church, saying that we are a priesthood. That we're not just to have... And He challenged those that were above Him to say, listen, they were saying that they had access to God and then they would speak to you on behalf of God. Which I want you to understand something in a pastoral role, that there is in a sense of that we have guidance and direction that way. But listen, I want you to know that you're a priest. Tell your neighbor you're a priest. See, this is the powerful message. Listen, this was declared 500 years ago and we need to get a hold of it today. Amen. Peter said that we are a royal priesthood. Tell someone you're royal. I'm a royal, hallelujah. And he posted it on that church. He says, listen, we're a royal. He began to declare that. He says, I have a question about this. He says, because we have access through God. Listen, I want you to know that we took hold of the Levitical priesthood because you know why? Listen, I want you to understand something. That Moses adapted to it from God because the people rejected a relationship with God one-on-one. Moses come down out of the mountain. He had an intimate relationship with God. He was telling them, listen, God wants you to speak to you. And they stood back and they said, well, no. Here, you go speak to God. We're going to stand back in our tent, shut the door, hide, and you tell us what He says. How many guys know that God does not want that? God wants a one-on-one relationship. He sent His Son to break that, hallelujah, that curse. So this Levitical order, which was given, we can understand it. We can see what a priesthood does and a line of it. And we can see that it was God's way to saying, listen, I'm going to make a way to get to you, whether you want me or not. And I'll use those for now. But I want you to know there's a better priesthood today that we live in because of what Jesus Christ did. Amen. Say it's a new covenant. And we're walking in it today. But I want to talk to you about relationships. I want to talk to you about a relationship that we have with God. I believe it's so important. I believe that we don't just go... I believe that there's something that God wants from us in this relationship that we have with Him that's intimate. Amen? It's powerful. That we have to be at a place where, if we're not, we need to question ourselves. We need to speak to our heart. And I always say that I need to talk to my heart. I need to question my own heart and my beliefs and what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Amen? I just don't want to come here to show up and I want to have a relationship with God. I want to have a relationship with one another, that we can have this relationship with one another. That's powerful. So we having this understanding of this and a relationship with God, that we connect. And God wants to touch us. I thought about this. I thought, you know, if He tells you, I love you, He says, I love you. Love you. It might be okay for once, but then twice, three or four times, love you. Yeah. Listen, I want you to know something. There's an emotion. There's sometimes we got to change our emotions. You know, say, well, I just don't feel that way. We need to change our way. You got the Spirit of God in us. We need to look at our hearts and say, but why am I not excited? Why don't I have that fire? And I need to see why. I need to question my heart. And where am I at with God? Where am I at? And I want to press through and touch the Father. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about relationship. Let's look at Luke 14:15. Let's get it on. Help me tonight. Help me. And it says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. Jesus was talking about, always talking about loving somebody, about loving your neighbor, loving those that are that your enemies. And it was, man, this was challenging. You know, listen, it's always challenging different things in our walk with God. It's not always easy to hold on. It's not always easy to hold on because God challenges us to grow us. But I want you to know there's nothing worth more in your growth with God. Sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes you don't see it right away. Sometimes you don't see it. And you have to step back and look. But that's a beautiful thing as we walk with God. Amen? But I want you to see this. And he said unto him, blessed is he that shall, say shall, that shall eat in the kingdom of God. Listen. I want us to just get this for a minute. Listen, here's the thing. He's standing before the Savior, the King of the world, man. He's standing before Jesus, the Messiah. And he said the wrong thing. He said the wrong thing, but Jesus corrects in the most awesome ways. He tells a parable. See, because you think, well, what did this guy do wrong? Here's what he did wrong. He said one word, and he said something that is in the future. I want you to hear this. Listen, I want us to grab hold of this. Because we talk about having a relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God somewhere else. We talk about being in the kingdom of God some other day. We talk about being sons and daughters of God or priests of God some other day. But he's saying, listen, the kingdom of God is not some other day. But I want you to understand something. It's not someplace you shall go. He says that they shall eat with him. And Jesus is saying, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You have experienced the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Do you remember when we were out on the water and it was shaking? I want you to know that heaven touched earth and changed everything. Hallelujah. That's what I want you to experience. Hallelujah. Do you remember that all those people showed up and there was nothing to eat? Heaven came down. Hallelujah. And rose up and fed everybody that was around. Not someday. See, I want you to hear this. I want you to know this because this is where our emotions and our excitement for God has been put out. Because we put it some other day, or some other way, or I don't know if I can personally have it because of my condition that I think that I'm in, that I'm not good enough. He made you good enough. There's nothing you can do to make yourself any better. Hallelujah. You can go through the car wash as many times as you want. You're not going to get any cleaner than what Jesus' blood has done for you. And he says, you shall eat the bread of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says this. You know, I don't know if everybody knows, but the red lettering is Jesus. I didn't know. Then said he, who's Jesus? He said, there was a certain man. He didn't even skip a beat. He just went right into it. He says, there was a great supper. You know why? Because Jesus didn't directly get to it because he wanted it to hear in your heart. In your heart. I mean, you know, that's where the God speaks to our heart. And he said, a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them, they're bidden, come. For, you ready for this? All things are what? Wait, no. Shall be.
No, now.
Come on, tell your neighbor now. Now ready. Not some other day. And Jesus made this statement, not some other person. Jesus made this statement. He says, no, now it's ready. Hallelujah. Dinner has been called. He has sent his son, and I want you to know, if you don't know this, I'm just putting in parentheses, if anybody didn't know who he sent, his servant, and his name is Jesus. Come on. The servant that was sent, his name is Jesus. And he came to prepare and to tell those, get ready. He says, there's something for you, hallelujah, that you can partake of, that you can commune with, hallelujah. Amen? You remember when Jesus was talking about, he says, listen, this is my flesh, eat of my flesh. Man, after he said that, that sermon wrecked everything. Listen, you're standing here and you're hearing him talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. I'll tell you what, half the church would have walked out if I'd have preached that. You know, what? Are you kidding me? Or says, wait. Jesus was making, you got to hear in your spirit. He was making understand. He says, you got to eat of me. He said, because I want you to know that when you eat of me, you'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again when you drink of me. He was making that statement clear. And he says, listen, I want you to hear this. This is good. But you know what? Let me look at real quick, Galatians. Galatians 2:20. Go ahead and look that up real quick, whoever gets it first. I'll keep reading. Tell me you got it. He got it. I am. Say, I am. I am. You got to personally identify yourself that I am crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, in the life which I...
I love that word.
Because it doesn't mean some other day. It means now. Now I live in the flesh. In the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I live by His faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So who am I partaking of? Him.
now.
That's now faith.
That's now faith. Listen, so he was dealing with their now faith. He says, you can't look this off, because if you do, that fire, that excitement that's in you, you need to have that heavenly, the power of the Spirit of God flowing with you in your life now. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God now. All right, here we go. And he says, and they all with one consent began, to make what? Make excuse.
Wow.
They began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, please have me excused. Listen, you got to remember where he's talking about. He's talking about, listen to me, he's asking them, he's giving the example. He says that you're partaking. We got to remember that he's showing them that this is something that was, he's bringing this out in the spirit for them to understand that he was asking them to partake of him. Come. I want you to partake of me. Not just once a week, not just twice a week, but every single day. I want you to make me your Sabbath day. Amen? I want you to make me your rest. I want you to find your joy in me. And he began to declare that. And he began to say this. And he says, but that one says, he says, but I got a piece of ground that I just bought. And I got to just go look at it and see how much I like it. I want you to see and understand something, that he's talking about a piece of ground. That means something that you've staked out, that you've claimed as what? Yours. Listen, I want you to see this, understand. This is powerful, because there's some things that we worship more than him. I'm speaking to everybody. Tell your neighbor, he's speaking to you. Now tell the other neighbor, speaking to you. I'm speaking to me. Listen, because here's why. I want you to know there's some things that we have claimed, that we have put down, and we said, this is my ground. This is territorial. Listen, this is what we can't be in church. Come on, hear me tonight. We can't, whatever ministry we have, we can't be territorial. That's one of the worst things in churches. Hear my cry. The worst things in churches, when we have a ministry and someone else might be part of it, or somebody get involved, and we get mad because of that. Don't claim ground that's not yours. It's God's. It's God. Say, God, Lord, it's yours. It ain't mine. Hallelujah. If someone comes in, praise God. Amen. That's a powerful understanding. It's not mine. It's God's. So here's the thing. We can understand. And not only that, but we can understand that there's pride in a sense whether you claim something that's yours. I'm not giving it up. Sometimes we hold on to things. I want you to hear this. I left my strings downstairs. My holders. They're my glass holders. Listen, and he says, sometimes hold on to things. Sometimes we hold on to things with pride. Sometimes we hold on to things, whether sometimes they could be anger. Sometimes they could be just simple things. Sometimes it could be doubt that you have, that you won't let it go, that you've claimed to this ground, that you bought it. You purchased it. And you're holding on to that. Maybe it's unforgiveness. But there's some things that you're making excuses why you can't. There's some people that won't come to church because maybe they've been hurt by a church, and they make excuses and they worship that more than the Christ. I can make excuses not to come to church. I've been hurt enough to say, you know what? I've been dumped on by church. But not Jesus. I can claim a ground and say, well, I'm just holding on to this. This is my anger. I'm holding on to it. I can let it go. Come on, this is where we are, church. Come on, hear me tonight. This is where we are. Sometimes you hold on to things that, man, just let it go. Let it go, man. Let it go. Jesus said that. He says, you need to sell it. Come on, to be part of it. Sell it. You need to let it go. But we make excuses. What is the one thing I say all the time? We make excuses why not to have a relationship with God. Why not to come to church? We need excuses why I need to be in the presence of God. Amen? I need to make an excuse. I need to get before God tonight. Man, the other night I was tired. I come home and I get a shower and I think, I just want to sit down and just veg out. I just felt God pulling me into my study. And I'm trying to ignore it. And I'm thinking, oh, God, but I worked hard today. Oh, I just feel like sitting there, God.
Lord, you're not going to get my full attention. I'm going to be falling asleep. And I went in there, man, and God began to speak to my heart. So as I sat there, I could have made excuses, and I did for a little while, but I couldn't get him out of my head. He's like that with me. He keeps saying things. It's like a doorbell ringing, like that bell down there. I hear that sometimes. All right. Holy Spirit, stop it. But he says that I pray, may I be excused from, think about what he's being excused from. Participating, sitting at a table with his Heavenly Father. Man. Next verse. And he says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I know none of you have any oxen. You might, I don't know. But he says, and I go to prove them, I pray thee, make me excused. You know, and oxens always speak of burden bearers. They speak of work. Tell someone work. When you see an oxen, you see a, man, listen, where I'm working, there's these Clydesdale, not Clydesdale, but what are the big horses, the big ones? Belgians, yeah. Listen, I'm not joking. I'm 6'4". This thing is like this tall, the back end of it. I swear to you, his hoofs are 12 inches wide. The sweetest thing I ever met. I mean, honestly, it's like a dog, like a puppy. Like I could have brought him home. He was so sweet. I don't know how I could have done that, but he wouldn't even fit in the back of my pickup truck. It was too big. Massive, massive horse. Massive, massive horse. And but they look at that. You could see the work and the power that they have. And man, they could, these things go, and you could just, all you do, little reins, and they just work. They work. And this, to me, speaks of us sometimes. That we're working to make things happen in our lives. Whether it's trying to find joy. Come on. I see the world out there right now trying to find joy every way they can. They're working for it. They're working for it. They're trying to make it happen. They're trying to create love on their own. They're trying to make whatever they can. They're trying to make church happen. Come on, they're trying to make it happen. Just make it happen without just saying, God, it's yours. I need you to let you make it happen, God. I need you to make this happen. Or maybe my finances, God. Well, Lord, you're not here quick enough, so I'm going to buy a gold mine over here. And come on, you hear the truth. Your pastor, you know I told you about that, right? Buying a gold mine in Indiana. Yeah, that's a sore spot right there. I wish I'd have just sold that piece of property. But making it happen, trying to make it happen. And I don't want to get in it tonight because there's too much in there. I kind of went off a whole thing there and just got, I had a whole new sermon about Jacob. But Jacob was this, what happened. Jacob was a supplanter. That was his name. That supplanter means to overthrow, to take hold of a throne. To grab hold of the heel and take the spot of that place. And to me that speaks of that you try to take a place that is somebody else's. Maybe Jesus. Sometimes we try to pull him behind us. Let me get in front of you, Lord. Let me make a way where there is no way. He's saying, oh, wait, I got this. Son, I got this. No, wait, Jesus, I got this. Come on, we do it. We do it in our lives sometimes. And we wonder why sometimes the things are going wrong. We got to stop and look at our hearts and say, do I do this? Am I doing this? Am I running before God? Am I taking him out of my moment? Am I not making him, having him, giving him place in my heart to say, God, I need you in this moment, God, Lord. I'm tempted with this thing, God. Right now, I need you to speak to my heart that I'm strengthened to, God, overcome this. Or whatever that is, maybe it's addiction. Or maybe, Lord, I can't love this person. I got to talking to one of my friends that, man, this guy was a heavyweight boxer. Ranked 90th in the world 10 years ago. That's a pretty big accomplishment.
I think I was like 1.5 million ranked. But he's ranked that high. And it's in him to fight. Do you know it's in us to fight? It's in us to make things happen. That I got to get my way and I just got to get in there and I got to make this happen. I just got to do it. Because it's in us. Because we come from the earth. We come from that place of working, tilling, trying to work it up on our own. That's where we're born. We're born into sin. And it's in us to try to make it happen. Trying to work it out on our own. Trying to fight. And here's man, he says, listen, and just work time after time. I keep ministering to him, ministering to him. And, oh, am I getting through to him at all? Today he called me and says, listen, he said, man, I need you to pray for me, see, because I hate this guy. He says, I keep imagining just grabbing his throat. You got to understand where this guy comes from. But he's able to talk to me that way. He says, man, because he could. He could. And the guy did something very wrong. He said, but man, I stopped. He says, and I just pulled my truck over. I began to pray. And I began to ask God, Lord, I can't do this. I want to kill him. God knows you want to kill him. Don't hide it from him. Oh, I love him. No, you don't. You hate him. So be real about it. Pull over Burger King and just give the reins to the king. Not Burger King, but Jesus. So here he was, he's sitting there and he said, he began to pray. And all of a sudden, he said, I couldn't understand it. He says, all of a sudden, I began to think of some good things about him. And I began to think, why am I thinking this thought? He said, because I began to think Jesus is taking hold of me right now. He felt that in his spirit. And I said, that's what it is. See, because he was holding the reins, working it on his own. And the way that we only know how to work it out is punch someone in the face or get angry about it or talk about them or not forgive them. And he says, no, just give me the reins. And when he did, that love interrupted his hate. I'm going to say it again. That love of God interrupted his hate. Heaven invaded earth. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God now, not some other time. See, because you don't have the ability to do this on your own in your own strength. But when we understand that it's not some other day, it's now the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he began to say this, and he says, I pray, make me an excuse. And then he went on, and he says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, listen, I want you to hear something. Listen, I want you to understand something, that marriage is a good thing. But we're talking spirit. Tell someone a spirit. We're talking spirit. And Jesus was identifying. We weren't talking about a piece of ground. We weren't talking about an auction. We're not talking about marriage in sense. What we're talking about is a spiritual issue that was interrupting his relationship and keeping him from communing with the Father. And here's what he was saying was this. He's saying that, listen, he said, make it a shishi because I got to get to know my wife. I got to be in this relationship. That's one of the problems we have, is sometimes we put word, we worship relationships above our relationship with Christ. Listen, because the next verse right down below there, he began to say, if you're not willing to hate your father, your mother, that's one of those sermons.
Oh, here he goes.
Listen, this is one of those sermons where all the disciples that are following him, they're standing up there, they're declaring his name, are saying, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? I can't believe you just said that. This is right after he said, eat my flesh. Now he throws out a sermon of the week, and it's hate your father and your mother. So now, but I want you to understand something. Jesus was interrupting something. They're comfortable being comfortable. He was interrupting something. He said, because this, that love that you give to your wife, that's not an agape love. It's not a heavenly love. Will not do any good. Hallelujah. You will not satisfy her or him. You will not. That will not complete one another. As much as you say it, I want you to know, if God's not on top, hallelujah, if he's not, you have nothing to give those that are with you. Your children, your mother, your father. But if you love from heavenly love, when it interrupts you, hallelujah, it changes everything. So Jesus, we got to know the Father. You got to know his heart. And I want you to know that sometimes I make decisions and you might not understand it, but if you know my heart, hallelujah, you know my heart, you trust Him. And that's sometimes what Jesus was saying to you. But they knew Jesus. They knew who He was. He loved His mother. He loved them that was with Him. He honored them. But when He said this, it changed everything. He's like, what? But here's, He was declaring something that if you don't, you can't love them the right way. And this is why sometimes so many marriages love, because we don't place our relationship. I can't give my wife what she's longing for. That void that God uses me for one another, for me, for her, and for her, for me, in one another in relationships. I can't feed my child without having that love to give to her. Sometimes they'll go out and they'll look for it. That's okay. Tell your neighbor that's okay. Because I want you to know that you think, wow, did I fail? Listen, I want you to know, listen, you give them Jesus. This is what God challenged me when I was in youth group. Spoke to my heart. Give them the best that you know of me. Pour your heart of me to them. He says, when they go in the world, they will search till they find what you gave them. They will search. You will mess them up, because all they'll be looking for is Jesus. Spirit of God. See, that's what we need to give. That's what we need to give. That's that place. So we can make excuses, but man, this is what I desire. This relationship. I want to look at my heart and say, Lord, am I buying ground? Am I taking up something? Is my pride that's getting in the way? Lord, is it? Am I trying to work this out on my own like Jacob did? And I was at that place right there where I was talking about Jacob. I got... You took my attention or something over here. That beautiful shirt. He's more colorful than me. My wife says I need to dress more colorful. I'm really drab. I wear a lot of khaki and browns. But so Jacob, who was usurping authority, you look all through his life and he just got himself in a mess. After mess, after mess, he connected himself with somebody that tricked him, was a bigger trickster than he was. Got him to marry both his daughters. He only wanted to marry one. And he owed him something from then on. Then he was being chased by his brother because he tricked him. He was chasing him down. And I was looking at the scriptures, and he came over the hill, and he says, and he just left Laban's house, and he was coming, and God already told him, he says, I will protect you, I will guide you. Listen, how many times has God given us a word that we know in our heart, that you read a word, like you got your daily devotion, you read that word. You read that word, you're reading it, and all of a sudden that day you're challenged with that same thing. That's what we did. That's what Jacob did. Jacob was coming over the hill, just like he goes, told, I'll be with you. I'll guide you. He's seen the angels of God standing there. How much confirmation do you need that God's with you? How would you like to look over the hill and see an angel? You're saying, all right, I'm good. I'm good. Sometimes angelic messengers... are words that we get from God. Maybe from a sermon. Maybe it's from a psalm. With some of that, but there's messengers. But here's the thing. So he comes over that hill and he looks. And all of a sudden, the next verse he says, hey, he tells the servant. He said, listen, take all these sheep and all these oxen and everything. He says, and go bribe my brother not to kill me. Just take all this. He was trying to buy his safety. He just seen the angel of God interrupting, saying, hey, I'm with you. Are you kidding me? So he struggled with it. And he went and he said, I got to get alone with God. God said, oh, finally. He gets alone with God. And all of a sudden he's standing there. And next thing you know, here he does it again. He says, well, there's 400 men. They came to him. There's 400 men. And Esau's on his way. Oh, goodness. Okay, take this much more. Go buy some more. Go tell him. And he says, go tell him that I'm his servant and he's my Lord. Jacob, there he is, giving his authority to somebody else again, interrupting it, not putting it in the proper place. Man, I don't want to put it in the wrong place. I don't want to give authority to people or situations That's not God. We do that. Sometimes we give authority to our pain, like Bishop said so powerfully. We give authority to our pain, that we let our pain rule us and guide us and direct us, instead of letting God, the Spirit of God, take hold of us and lead us and guide us. And as he's standing there, finally got to a place, and he's standing there, and when he's standing there, he looked and here comes God. He recognizes and says, here comes God, here comes the man. It was God. Tell someone it was Jesus. Jesus was about ready to interrupt his schedule. He says, I'm tired of this, Jacob. He says, it's time for you and I to get it on. Listen, I want you to know back then, the wrestling, there was wrestling. And someone coming up to you, they would get in a position like this. And you were like, okay, you had to because of your honor, or you're in trouble. You had to fight that person one-on-one. And here's God. Do you know, that's me sometimes. Sometimes I'm wrestling with God. God tells me to do. I'm like, and I'm wrestling with what God said. Yeah, I'm going to go, God. But I'm wrestling with Him saying, yeah, but not right now. Right now, I'm holding Him down. Or I'm not agreeing with Him. I'm wrestling with Him. And that's what Jacob was doing with God. He was wrestling with Him. He was trying to hold Him down. He was trying to convince Him. He knew he needed to go. He knew he should go. But he was trying to convince God, I don't want to go. He was wrestling with the whole thing. It was like something was internal. But it was happening right then and there. Finally, God got his attention. He says, bless. He said, bless me. I want you to bless me. He said, but Jacob, I want you to understand. Tell me your name. I want to get through this real quick. He said, tell me your name. And he kept saying, my name's Jacob. I'm a supplanter. I'm a deceiver. God says, listen to me. You have made a wreck of everything. You have bought ground you shouldn't have. You've made excuses why you can't walk in the authority that I've given you. Enough's enough. Finally, he came to that place where he declared, he says, your name is Israel. He says, that word means God is triumphant. Come on, tell someone God's triumphant. When we let Him be triumphant. When we give Him place. When we let the kingdom of God invade our space. My ground. You guys, come on. My ground, listen, when I let Him invade my ground, when I give up my ground, when I give up my work, trying to work it out, and when I give up relationships that I put before God, sometimes I try to we use relationships or we try to get people to love us or do this or that or that if this person, relationship, whatever they are, he was trying to convince him. And that's what Jacob did. But he says, now your name's changed. And the thing that got him was this, is that he touched him. He touched him. And his sinew. And that word sinew means strength. He was walking in his own strength. God says, you'll never walk the same again. After you come face to face with God. When we go in a intimate relationship with God, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, whether He challenges you to sell the ground, whether He challenges you to stop working for it, or He challenges you in relationships to put Him first, it's your strength. And when He touched Him there, when he walked up over that hill, I want you to hear this. When he walked over that hill, his whole family was on the other side. And when he came up over that hill, they seen him limping. They watched him walking different. When you come face to face with God and surrender, he changes everything. And here's the powerful thing. Ready? Because he surrendered and gave the right place to the right one, Esau came. Remember all the fear he had in his heart? I want you to know it changed the moment he surrendered. Because Esau, with all the hatred, all the anger that was in his heart, was invaded by heaven. Because when he walked up to his brother, it says he embraced him. It embraced him. I want you to know that something happened to Esau because of what Jacob did. Your enemies will change when you let God change you. Sometimes we're fighting our enemies. Sometimes we're fighting things that we shouldn't be fighting. God says, when you surrender it, I'll take care of it. I need God to take care of some enemies. Stand to your feet. I need God to take care of some enemies. Come on, sometimes there's one. Sometimes we fear death. Sometimes we fear sicknesses. Sometimes we fear disease. Just surrender to Him. Just surrender to Him. Say, God, I'm giving this to You. Come on, let's just worship. Hallelujah.
Think of something witty to say, but the Burger King joke took everything. This is this goes right along with this. But if I'm ever overpowered, if I'm having a bad day, or if, you know, it's just everything's getting to me, really, this the little part of the song just keeps going through my head. It's Caleb's song. You know, when you say word of life, you know, speak to my weary heart. That just, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, yes. And then you get the nice little, and it makes you feel good.
Word of life.
Yeah.
We hear your cry, dear God, Lord, to say, come, hallelujah. Come to the altar. Come to the place where we commune, where we sit with you. We partake of your very presence, of who you are, God. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, God. Lord, that I take that exchange and I lay it before you, God. So, Lord, we carry so many things. We carry so many things. But God, Lord, you are there to take hold of them. You are there to pull them from us, Lord. Lord, release us from whatever's holding us back. Lord, I declare right now, God, by your power and your strength, to God, Lord, that we walk triumphant in what you declare, that we take that name change, a name of triumphant, because of what you've done. In your name, we pray. Amen. Come on, someone bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Give somebody a hug. Amen. Tell AFC, good job. Good job.
That's why we do.